Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome Greg Palast, incredible economic reporter, political reporter, a writer beyond par who can help us understand what's really going on in America's electoral system. Ladies and gentlemen, Greg Palast.
Well, glad to be with you.
It's our pleasure to have you, sir. Listen, you've got an incredible book out there, Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, which really totally takes apart the electoral system. Greg, why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, Obama doesn't come out smelling too well on this either. Billionaires and Ballot Bandits includes his billionaires and ballot bandits, but he has fewer billionaires, and they don't know how to burgle as many ballots as the GOP this year, because the GOP, as the Republicans have, they've got these massive data mining systems, as I describe in the book, and they're really good at it. So the Republicans have really moved. They're at the edge of cyberspace with vote rustling, while the Democrats are still playing with their floppy disks. So that's crucial. So the subtitle is really two subtitles on this book, because it's kind of two books or three books slapped together. Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. First, How to Steal an Election, 9 Easy Steps. And the second subtitle is Greg Palast Investigates the Koch Gang, Karl Rove, and Their Butt Buddies. So I wanted to describe how the election is being stolen, and it is, and how the billionaires and who these billionaires are that are stealing it. And I say a third book because in the middle, of course, there's a 50-page comic book by Ted Rall, which I think is worth the price.
Excellent. It is. It's excellent. Well, you show how the underlying money behind both parties is, in fact, absolutely corruptive. And then we also see, and you detail it perfectly, how not only does the money corrupt, but the money corrupts the entire system, from the judiciary to Congress, as well as the leadership at the top.
Yeah, well, it's old-fashioned gumshoe reporting. I'm not just, blathering on about, the 1% and the rich or whatever. I actually know these guys. I went to the University of Chicago, studied under Milton Friedman, so I know a lot of these billionaire freaks, why they're strange and dangerous. They never got any action in college. That was one of the reasons. And all the people I know that closed their legs or kept their pants zipped now are all paying because you wouldn't take care of these guys. They are little sick guys, okay? They're sicksters. For example, we have a story, several chapters, about the Koch brothers in there. I say we, because Bobby Kennedy wrote a couple chapters of the book. I have these chapters on the Koch brothers, one where Charles Koch is siphoning oil off the Osage Indian Reservation. He's ordering the siphoning of oil personally. Now, that's getting him a few hundred bucks a week. The guy is a billionaire. The guy was a billionaire, and he's ordering the theft of oil from some poor Indians. And one of his minions says to him, why? You're a billionaire. Why are you taking a few hundred bucks from some poor Indian? And I know his answer because his vice president, who was with him, was wired. I was working with the FBI at the time. So we had him wired. And the guy, and Charles Koch said, and this is a direct quote, Koch said, I want my fair share, and that's all of it. And they want all of it. And so the only way to get all of it is that has to include Capitol Hill and the White House. They need that real estate because you can't get all of it. You can't steal all of it unless you get immunity from the crime and protection, and then, of course, make sure you're never taxed on the skim. That's how it works. And now today, so Koch is getting close. He and his brother each have $22 billion in assets, each. $22 billion, that's 44. But if you throw in their other two dissolute brothers, that puts them over $50 billion for the four Koch brothers. And you know what? As Mitt Romney says, well, Republican Party, we celebrate success. What he means is we celebrate dressage horses. We celebrate money. I always thought, my mother was a school teacher, worked in the school cafeteria. I thought she was a success. But, and she didn't take any money from Indian tribes. But they celebrate success. The question is, success at what? And I guess we have to celebrate along with them. And that's the point of the book is how they systematically have been deep-sixing 5.9 million, in the last election, 5.9 million votes. Just went poof.
There's so many issues that are raised. I, for one, have to wonder why, if we have this on the record, has there been no prosecution of these guys? Of course, which leads back to the fact that the judicial system doesn't prosecute rich people. I mean, that just doesn't happen. Here, these guys are on the record stealing from the Native Americans, and have you heard of any prosecutions? I certainly haven't.
Well, in fact, it's interesting because, see, while we talk about the influence of the rich and how they steal with impunity, I wanted to show you exactly how. I'm an investigative reporter, and to the point, like you said to me before, you know, got on the air, that you know you gulped down the book in a sitting, and that the reason is that I'm telling stories, not just gassing. I say, oh, the rich have it all locked up. Well, that's not news to anyone. What makes the book fun and interesting is I tell you how. So, for example, on page 72, I have the pre-indictment write-up of Charles Koch. He's called Target 67C. And I'm reading it right now, page 60. In fact, you got all these cool, besides the comic book, you have a lot of cool illustrations. This one is from the U.S. Department of Justice. It says, Koch Industries, crime on an Indian reservation, theft, racketeering, influenced, and corrupt organization. That's RICO law. So they're going to charge Koch Industries and Charles Koch with racketeering, a big federal crime, believe me, felony crime. And so why wasn't Koch indicted? If we had the videotape of the theft, we have his confessions on audio tape, we have the whole thing. So how come Koch is picking our next president as opposed to, you know, picking cotton on some state prison farm? And the answer is that the indictment was written up, but the prosecutor in any state, federal prosecutor, serves at the pleasure of the state's U.S. senator. And Senator Don Nichols was not pleasured by the impending indictment of his biggest donor and sugar daddy, Mr. Koch. So he had the prosecutor removed, replaced with a Koch stooge. The grand jury was disbanded without being allowed to look at any evidence. They didn't see this indictment write-up. And Koch even got a letter from the new puppet prosecutor saying, you're off the hook, you won't be indicted, which is quite unusual. It's kind of like a get-out-of-jail-free card, do whatever you want. That's just an example from that one crime. There were several other crimes, including, for example, Koch Industries then went out and bought up the U.S. Congress through illegal campaign contributions, $25 billion from Koch Industries. Now, remember, it was illegal for corporations to give money to campaigns. People can, but corporations can't. So then we ended up with Citizens United. There were no citizens in there. Who were these citizens who were uniting? Well, that case was argued at the Supreme Court by this little group. They used the most expensive attorney in America, Ted Olson. How did they pay for him? The answer was, he's on the payroll of Koch Industries. So when Citizens United came down, it wasn't as simple matter as allowing corporations to donate to political campaigns by the millions and billions. It decriminalized what the Kochs had done. Basically, they'd committed the crime already, and now they say, well, it's not a crime. So you have to understand, that's the game. It's not just what a billionaire does. Yes, the way that they stop breaking the law is by changing the law. So Citizens United was decriminalizing actions of the Koch brothers, and that's the game. So this is how it is. But you get the full stories in here. You know, you get the details, which are what's fun. You know, like how this stuff happens and how, of course, I go about getting this info.
This is a story that every American should read. It should be part of the history process. It should be part of the civics process, because essentially, if we allow these supra citizens, as defined by the Supreme Court, control the money that undergirds our election system, there is no more even illusion of democracy. And that's a terrible thing. The other component of this that you reveal is, essentially, since they can't run a candidate that anyone who thinks would ever support, they have to turn to voter suppression, voter intimidation, to get their election results that they want.
Yeah, it's called stealing. We use the term suppression, disenfranchisement, which are very academic terms for burgling your vote, your ballot. And at the first chapter of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, we have, I just have a listing from, based on the figures from the U.S. Elections Assistance Commission, in which, for example, you have 1,451,116 ballots spoiled. That means that they're cast and they're not counted. 1.4 million votes cast and not counted in the last election. That's the official number. Now, how do votes spoil? Well, you don't leave them out of the refrigerator. Don't leave them out of the refrigerator. That's not what happens. That means that you had a stray mark on a ballot. Your CHAD was hung. You put an X instead of a check, or didn't fill in a bubble, or you forgot to fill in a bubble, or something like that, or you didn't add your middle initial to your signature as you registered. All kinds of games, if you mailed in your ballot, all kinds of games are played. And if it were random, if it were both sides doing it equally, and if it were random, it wouldn't change elections. But it's not random. And here's the statistics you have to look at in the chapter, Lynching by Laptop. The chance your vote will spoil, that is, you cast it and it's not counted, is 900% higher if you're African-American than if you're white. 500% higher if you're Hispanic than if you're white. By the way, if you're Native American, forget it, the number is through the roof. You have a tough time getting your vote counted at all. And that's not minor, because the swing states, for example, in this election, Missouri, Colorado, Nevada, Arizona, you have this massive concentration of Native American voters who are, by the way, like 7-1 Democrats. There is 7 or 8-1. They are as Democratic as African Americans. People don't realize that. And their vote is under threat. And how do they do this? They give, just like they give black and Hispanic neighborhoods and Indian pueblos the worst schools and the worst hospitals, they also give them the worst voting machines, which don't record the vote or screw up. And they know it. They like it. It's deliberate. That's the game.
I volunteered in the 2000 election in a city that was largely agricultural, largely lower middle class. And I was talking to the mayor afterwards, and I said, you know, the machines were turned on late. How were our results tallied? He said, well, you know, it's funny you should ask. He said, because you know what? They never even picked up our voting results. He said, I had to call them at 1 o'clock in the morning because they never came and collected our voting results. So all those people who voted in Florida City were not counted. So when they finally begrudgingly came down to pick them up, he said, I wanted a letter from the election department saying that these votes will in fact be counted. He never heard back. And Florida is notorious, as you well know, for all kinds of shenanigans.
So notorious that without any question in my mind, Florida's already stolen. I don't think Obama could win, even though the demographics of Florida over the last 4 years have changed. He won by a third of a percentage point last time in Florida. Now, I'm not for Obama or against Obama. I'm for the votes getting counted. I don't care if Obama flies or explodes. That's not the point. The point is, do we have something that we used to call democracy? And it's not in Florida. For example, you have in Florida a governor who said that there are 182,000 illegal aliens registered on the voter rolls. Now, this means that you have a massive, massive crime wave in Florida that the Republicans are doing nothing about. Because if you're an illegal alien and you register to vote, you've committed a felony crime for which you first go to jail and then you get deported. Now, how come the Republicans, who are so much against voter fraud, aren't arresting these people? Jesus, it's not like it's difficult. They give you their name and address, right? They say they're going to show up to vote on November 6th. It's pretty easy to put handcuffs on them, but they don't. Because it's a lie, it's a phony, it's a con. We don't have illegal aliens, Florida, on the voter rolls. When I say we don't have any, pretty much any. In fact, I told the governor, Mr. Scott of Florida, if you can find not 182,000 illegal aliens on the voter rolls, but 182, one in a thousand, and arrest them. No, you can't say, we have a Jose Hernandez on the voter rolls, and we want to deport a guy named Jose Hernandez. Well, no kidding. That's not evidence of voter fraud. Evidence of voter fraud is you go and arrest this supposed felon, Jose Hernandez, who was deported, swam the Gulf of Mexico, came out of the water and registered to vote so he could who could vote for Barack Obama. You arrest that guy. They arrested one person, a Canadian registered as a Republican. Out of 182,000 people, one arrest. One. A Canadian Republican. And that's it, out of 182,000. So I told him if he found just 182, I would, so he has 181 to go. If he can find them, fine. In fact, I said I will eat Governor Scott's underpants in the Capitol Rotunda. And I am still hungry. It hasn't happened because it's a lie. And you know why the lie continues? Because the lie is echoed in the lie chamber. National Petroleum Radio, NPR, in Billionaires and Ballot Bans, there's a chapter called I'm Depressed. I'm an investigative reporter. For those who know Greg Palast, I'm an investigative reporter for BBC TV, Democracy Now!, and other programs. And so the NPR's idea of a report is that they say, on one hand this and on the other hand that. I call it phony balancism, okay? They say experts are saying that there are no illegal aliens on the voter rolls, that the Republicans have 182,000 common Hispanic names. There's not that many. That's what they have. So someone's been deported and they have the same name as someone in Florida. So what? Okay? But NPR said, on the other hand, Republican state officials do have evidence, strong evidence, that there are many illegal aliens on the voter rolls. Now, wait a minute, NPR. If there's strong evidence, what are their names? Have they been arrested? Where are they? Is anyone trying to get these illegal voters? No. But NPR repeats it as gospel truth. In other words, because it's important for them to run a report that says, when I work for BBC, we have to get an answer. If the Democrats say these are real legal citizens, the Republicans say they aren't, it is not my job as a reporter to say the Democrats say this and the Republicans say that. That's not reporting. That's repeating. Reporting means that you take all the evidence and you investigate yourself and you find the answer. Either the Democrats are lying and they're running a campaign to get all these people to swim across the Rio Grande and steal the election, or the Republicans are running a Jose Crow operation to steal this election for the rich using racist apartheid tactics. And by the way, the answer is B, racism. It's lynching by laptop, as I call it in the book. Boy, I'm getting all excited! The book is pretty funny, actually. It's not all that. No one's screaming at you from the covers. It's more humor than... It's sick humor. It's sad humor. But that's how it is.
Well, Greg, your book is tremendous. I urge everyone who has any interest at all in politics, in election, to get out there and get that book, Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. And it's not only is it a book about the damage being done, but it's also got how-to in there, how we can improve it, how we can take a stand, how we can contribute to remaking our democracy.
Well, that's right. At the back of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, I have what we call the ballot condom for safe voting, 7 ways to beat the ballot bandits. And it's 7 things you could do to protect your vote, especially near Florida. One is don't mail in your ballot. Don't go postal, for God's sake. These are vote thieves, and you mail them yourself. It's like mailing bank robbers your check deposit. Don't forget to deposit this check, please. Florida is famous for getting absentee mail-in ballots, and then just not opening them until the day after the election day or the day before the election day. Oh, oops, it's past the deadline. Now, they've been holding these ballots. Or even better, one of the favorites in Florida is they don't send back your ballot in time. You make a ballot request, and they send it back to you too late. They know who you are. They know how you're voting. How do they know this? Well, one, even the dumbest politician knows from zip code your likely vote. Second, in Florida, in places like that, it says, if you're African-American, it says BLA next to your name in the voter registries. They know how you're voting there. But even more sophisticated is that, as you read in Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, is that Karl Rove has a massive data mining system called Data Trust. And the Koch brothers have funded a massive data mining system called Themis. Themis and Data Trust, you put those together, and these guys, they literally have said, we know if you've bought pornography in the week before the election. They have your credit card records, okay? They can buy all this stuff, all right? Understand. They have your records. They know you inside and out. They know you're going to vote before you know how you're going to vote. They got you totally profiled. You mail in your ballot, and then they come up with ways to knock you out. Oh, fraudulent address. This is a felon voter. That's one of my favorites, by the way, especially in Florida. You know, most people know Greg Palast, know me. as the guy that uncovered how Catherine Harris back in 2000 fixed the election for George Bush by removing tens of thousands of black people from the voter rolls, saying that they were felons, ex-cons, that these ex-cons are not permitted to vote. Okay, if there's ex-cons on the, like I say, first of all, if there's an ex-con that's registered to vote, that tries to vote, arrest them. That's another crime. Send them back to jail. Now, so how many ex-cons in Florida are going to take the chance of going back to the Hooskow so they can vote for a school bond or even Barack Obama? Come on. No one's going to do that. And the answer is no one does that. No one does that. You know how many? I went to the attorney general. I said, would you arrest a felon voter, an illegal voter who has a felony conviction? Absolutely. I said, how many have you arrested? I said, well, we have six open cases, no conviction. Six? I said, the list is 93,000 names. 93,000 people were losing their vote.
Well, the thing that I find amazing is that even given the bought-off mouthpiece that the press has become, even there, some of these cases are leaking out. We've got the guy who's been throwing out Democratic ballots. We've got the guy in Pennsylvania who said, oh, listen, we've secured the state for Romney months ago.
By using ID laws. And see, the thing about the guy with the dumpster, the ballots in the dumpster, that's not voter fraud. People say, oh, and see, that actually plays to the Republican idea that they're voters who are committing, no, it's officials who are committing fraud against voters. That was voter victimization. Those are people who would fill out ballot registration forms and they are thrown in the dumpster. But you know what? The guy who threw the stuff in the dumpster is nothing compared to the Secretary of State of Florida who's been throwing tens of thousands of registration in the dumpster. How? But that's done under the color of laws, they say.
Yep.
Like, for example, in California, 42% of registration forms were thrown in the dumpster, but supposedly legally on the grounds that they had suspect signatures, whatever that means, suspicious names, whatever that means. I asked, what's a suspicious name? They said, well, like Muhammad. Seriously. They couldn't enter them in the machines. 42% of registration forms, and you know whose those were. It was Hispanic. They said hyphenated names, foreign names, Filipino names, Asian names, Arabic names. Well, come on. That's who was being thrown out in California, 42% of all registration forms that were coming in from voter drives. And that gets us to the ballot, in Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, the Greg Palast ballot condom for safe voting is register. You say, well, I am registered. Forget it, Jack, especially in Florida. Maybe you're a felon. Maybe you're crazy. You're not allowed to vote in Florida if you're legally insane unless you're the governor. And so you get you have to check your registration, make sure they have your signature right, your address right, and that they didn't misspell your name. You know, and if they misspelled your name and you come in with your ID, well, it doesn't match what they have in the voter rolls. You're going to lose your vote. You better make sure that's straightened out, my friend, and vote early, like right now, right now, right now, in person. You can do that in Florida. Start voting early. And you can do that in every state in America has early voting. Everyone, you can vote early. That's by federal law. They try to knock it down because they want to make it, during the day on a work day so that working people have a tough time getting to the polls, and it gets jammed. And then when you show up at the poll and your name is, you're listed as an illegal voter, or my favorite, like Zach, who actually made up the ballot bandits, how to beat the ballot bandits poster. He lost his vote. He walked in, they said he was an inactive voter. Now, how do they know he hasn't done his sit-ups? An inactive voter, 9 million people are marked as inactive. Whatever the heck that means. It means you haven't voted enough. Well, you can't now walk in and say, well, okay, I'm voting now. No, 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 you can't. You're marked as inactive. Now, who makes that decision? Who knows? Karl Rove with Data Trust, Coke with their Themis machine. You're on some pimply jackass's BlackBerry who's challenging you. Okay, that's how you lose your vote. And by the way, you get the follow-ups on this at gregpalast.com, gregpalast.com, as with the comics. And, it's so get this book, and at least you can have a laugh while they're burgling the deal, and then protect yourself, man. Take the responsibility for your vote.
Well, not only do I want to mention your 7 ways to beat the ballot bandit section at the end of the book, you've also got an excellent section on action resources and an excellent section on media resources. This is a must-buy. All our good progressives out there, you need to get this book. Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, the incredible Greg Palast, a writer that we all need to be familiar with. Thank you so much, Greg.
Terrific. Thank you for the opportunity and for bringing my words back across the electronic Berlin Wall.
And there's a link on the site to buy that book. This is a book you got to buy. Greg Palast, Billionaires and Ballad Bandits. Thanks so much, Greg. Hope you feel better.
I thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.